verse, the first 12 verses on, if you have the Bible with you, page 769, John chapter 21st, the first 12 verses. John chapter 21st, the first verse. Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the seas of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called to them, friends, haven't you any fish? They answered, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they were unable to haul the net in because of the large amount of fish, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The others followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. They saw a fire of burning coals. There with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. Climb aboard and drag the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, their net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. The disciples dared to ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. These words.
It's a joy to be with you again this morning to share God's word. And happy Chinese New Year greetings. It's the day of Chinese New Year. This message is entitled, One a Big Catch. I'm sure all of us, if you go fishing, you will want to have a big catch. Secret. Wesley's diary, Sunday morning, May the 5th. St. Anne's Church. Asked not to come back anymore. P.M. May the same day. Preached at St. John's Church and said, get out and stay out. May the 12th morning, preached at St. Jude's Church, back there either. P.M. May the 12th, preached St. George's Church again. Morning, May the 19th, preached at St. somebody else's church. And then called a special meeting and said, John Wesley couldn't come back again. The lights. And May the 5th, 19, preach on the street and got off the street. 26, a meadow, got chased out of a meadow as a bull was turned loose during the services. June the 2nd, morning, at the edge of a town and got kicked off the highway. PM, June the 2nd, our service, preach, Easter. And guess what? 10,000 people came to hear John Wesley preach. For people like John Wesley, in there when the going got tough, choose to quit. And the great apostle Peter, that we read in this passage just now, he had a fair share of discouragement. Start reading John 21, was at a point where he was about to quit his ministry. 21 highlighted Peter as an example of one of the early preachers who wanted to go back to his usual life. Observations I like to make from this episode of Peter's encounter with Jesus on the shore of Galilee. 1 to 3, turn to the mundane. 2 to 7, observation number 2, response to the master. 8 to 11, of a miraculous catch. And 12, we have union over each of the four observations, chapter 21. Number 1, a return to the mundane. 28 verses 7 and 10. The Lord Jesus had promised his disciples that he them first went on ahead, they waited and had this primary patient. So disappointed that Jesus is so unsure about what's going to happen to his ministry. 1 verse 3, he says that
to fishing.
Really saying is this, if you look at the Greek for saying this, I'm going back in a permanent way I used to do. Peter knew best to do with Jesus. Realized that this was not the time that Apostle Peter had struggled with it. Been thinking, you know, he blows time. Any crisis, be allowed. Christ, not three times to speak, not because of a lack of faith. Do what I do. Went back fishing, and guess what? He was influential, that's of the other disciples. It was turned back to the mundane of the disciples. Listening to what they used to do 3 years ago before they met Jesus. They had fish, a living, providing for their families that way. They're going back to doing what they used to be doing. And fish for the entire night. You read in John 21. Amazing, professional fishermen caught nothing. One single fish. Did they? Now, there's nothing innately wrong with them going back to fishing. I think it's a good thing to go fishing. It's a good thing to go fishing. How many of you love fishing? It's a sin for you to go fishing. Don't ever say that Ji Peng said it's a sin to go fishing. Going fishing can be a good thing. A good fishing, your livelihood, wonderful thing, unless it's not the priority that God has for your life. It can become a problem. Problem with the disciples. You see, back to fishing was a sign that they were drifting away from the calling of God upon their lives. For them to be fishermen, Jesus called them to be what? To be fishers of men. And all have times in our life when we just wonder if God is going to show up, Jesus and the disciples, honestly. It seems to be so silent sometimes and so distant. At a loss as to what to do next, like Peter and the disciples. Sometimes we are tempted to retreat back in our own little cozy corner. We want to return back to what we know best. A zone. Feel we are in a lot more control of our lives. Peter and the disciples, a return to the mundane has led futility, not human in their lives. Labored and toiled for at least 8 long hours through the night. But in all those hours, we read they caught nothing. Right place, the Sea of Galilee, which is they were at the right time. Night time is the best time to fish. Right equipment. Out in the sea, they have the fishing nets, but still, they caught nothing. And you know, there are so many Christians like that today. They are doing good things, a lot of things. But they are doing what God, they are not doing what God has called them to do, even though those are good things. As a result, they can find fulfillment. But like Peter and the disciples, they catch nothing. They fail to flow with the call of God upon their lives. Jesus said this in John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. So friend, are you doing what God has called you to do? I'm not saying that all of you must quit your job tomorrow and enter full-time ministry and become missionaries and pastors. For many of you, the thing is to serve God right where you are today, in the marketplace. Whatever God has called you to do, remain in that calling, just like Wesley. Second observation, a response to the master, verses 4 to 7. Early next morning, the disciples were headed back to land after a disastrous fishing trip. And a call out to them from the shore, asking if they had any fish. Because of the thick fog in the early morning hours, they couldn't really see who that person was who was calling out to them. Shame to answer that question because they had no fish all night. And the voice called back to them. In verse we read, why not you throw the net on the side of the boat and find some fish to do that, isn't it? Been fishing all night and not a single fish. For whatever reason, we don't know. You have the nets on the left side of the boat. What difference could it make just to put the net now on the right side instead of the left side. Remember, these were not ordinary fishermen. Peter and the other six them were professional fishermen before. No idea who was this stranger who's telling them to do that. For unknown reason, they unquestionably took and threw them in the water on the right side of the boat. The Bible says, when they did that, they were unable to haul the net in because of a large catch of fish. They were stunned at what happened the next moment. And it suddenly dawned on them who has been calling out to them from the shore. No one else. And the Bible says clearly in John 21 verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." It's Jesus, not only because no one else could do this kind of thing, but because it had happened before in their experience. Luke in chapter 5 of Luke tells the story which happens as Jesus' ministry is just beginning. Jesus running by the lake of Gennesaret, we were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter. Him to put out a little from shore and then down and taught the people from the boat. He had finished speaking, his leader put into deep water down the nets for a catch, and answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. As you say so, I will let down the nets." They had done so, with such a large numbers of fish that their nets began to break, and signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Both boats so full of fish that they began to sink. "Your net on the right side of the boat," Jesus said to Peter and the disciples. Did they respond to their master what he told them to do? Can't go wrong by following his instructions, even when they don't make sense to you sometimes. And the instructions of Jesus may seem to be silly. Think we are going to catch fish after catching nothing at night? Don't really be sexually pure in our day and age? Can you compete in any business deal today when everyone seems to be engaging in deceptive practices? Hide your income when there are so many bills to pay for? Forgive after they have wounded me so deeply? Rejoice in the Lord when my heart is shattered in pieces? Learn this lesson about God's wisdom. There will be times when we must do what he tells us. Not it makes sense, because we can trust the wisdom of God. The Testament is filled with stories of men caught to do strange things. Noah built an ark. Abraham went to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his only son. Moses told off to let his people go to war with a ragtag army of just 300 people. Asked to remarry his unfaithful wife. Solomon collected empty jars to give to God's prophet Elijah. Ezekiel did all kinds of weird stuff if you read Ezekiel. Testified of God's faithfulness as he walked among the ruins of Jerusalem. Prayed when he was facing the lions. Stories could go on and on and on, but in each case, these people did what God told them to do, even though they didn't understand everything. Be faithful and wise. The disciples too responded to Jesus. What happened next? When they did what Jesus told them to do, and they cast the net on the right side of the boat, totally surprised. But a reward of miraculous catch. Relationship with the disciples begins and ends with a miraculous catch of fish. Always meet Jesus in the miracle. The lesson to be learned from this story is this: of a miraculous catch happens because of their obedience. It's important for us, as for the disciples, to obey Jesus. Stories, John 21 and Luke chapter 5. It might have been difficult for the fishermen to listen to the suggestions of a carpenter. After all, this was their profession, fishermen, not his, abolishing and will help some of the best fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. What Jesus was suggesting did not make any sense to them. What possible difference could it make to add on the other side of the boat? Sometimes God puts us in situations where it seems to be like a dead end. God is asking us to do something so simplistic, foolishness to us. It is counterintuitive. Fishing on the left side, and now you think by fishing on the right side of the boat will make a big difference? Working all night, and you think one more cast is going to make the difference? This raises many other questions. Couldn't Jesus have made the fish swim into the net while it is still on the left side of the boat? To the bother of having them take the nets out from the left side and put them on the right side of the boat? Couldn't Jesus have made the fish just jump into the boat? Is it a bigger miracle? But couldn't have involved the aspect of the obedience of the disciples. Jesus did not do it all for them. He tested their obedience so that they could learn that blessings follow obedience. Relationship with God. Remember that success follows obedience. Even what he is asking you to do may sometimes seem ridiculous to you. You are not smarter than God. You go against what he is telling you to do to be successful. It doesn't happen that way. It comes as you are willing to listen to Jesus and do what he says. Translating God's word into a tribal language is often very challenging. And one missionary was troubled by his inability to effectively communicate the idea of obedience to the tribal people. Concept among the native, obedience. Practiced, and they never valued the word obedience. So his relation problem was solved one day when he whistled for his dog and the animal came running at full speed towards him. And when the old tribal native saw the dog running to him, he was so impressed by the dog's responsiveness and his native tongue. Your dog is all ear. Your dog is all ear. And the missionary had his word for obedience. And it's a pretty good translation for us as well. The missionary's dog are we all ear. Comes to what Jesus, our master, tells us. Obedience to God and his word opens the doors for God to rain down his blessings in our lives. When the disciples came to the end of themselves and they began to obey what Jesus told them to do, when they had a miraculous catch, 153 to be exact, and not only that, all large fish, not ikan bilis. Of 153 large fish, one Bible scholar estimated the weight of the fish to be about 300 pounds. That is a lot to haul in. How know there were that many fish? Counted them when they got to the shore. See all sorts of weird and wonderful things in the number of 153. Sir Alexandria said that the 100 represented the fullness of the Gentiles, the 50 symbolized the remnant of Israel, and the 3, of course, was there for the Trinity. So you have 153. His theory was that there are 10 commandments, and 7 is the perfect number of grace, and 10 and 7 become 17. And if you all the numbers from 1 to 17, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 5, up to 17, you will get 153. Don't believe, go back and try this. Not only that, but if you were to arrange all these numbers like this with 17 fish in the row, 16 in the next row, 15 in the next row, and so on, you will get a perfect triangle, which of course symbolizes the Trinity. Isn't that amazing? God's word is so exact. Rome, the early church father, who said that among the Greeks, it was widely regarded that there were 153 kinds of fish. Today, modern science has told us that there were many more species in the oceans. Jerome said that this was symbolic of the church reaching out to all the peoples of the world. Personally, I am not so complicated, My explanation is a lot simpler. Fishermen count their catch so that they can boast about it. That's all. I caught, wow, 153 large fish. Isn't that caught? It was so large that they could hardly get the net to the shore. But in spite of the pressure on the net, it didn't break or tear. The miracle. When you obey and cast your net on the other side of the boat, the net is filled. Also, when you obey, that a way is opened up for a deeper fellowship with Jesus. First, had a reunion with Jesus. Meal of barbecue fish. Wow. In verse 9, as soon as they landed on shore, they saw a fire of coal laid on it and some bread. In fact, what has happened? Jesus made breakfast for all of them. He said to them, come and have breakfast with me. They didn't even have to use their fish. It was with the breakfast up and ready for them to eat. God of the universe took the time to cook breakfast. Seven guys. It's amazing. Sometimes we think of God as a great cosmic thing out there somewhere in the sky. He who rules over the universe either made it or and God left us on our own and he's indifferent about our lives. I feel that is not the God we worship. We worship God who cares even the finite details of our life. Just cares so that you and I have our breakfast every morning. Believe me, he does. Jesus is the one who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, all our weaknesses. He makes sure that we have a nice breakfast after a long, weary night of fishing. Oh, it was. Everything ready for us. We don't have to do a single thing. He provides a big catch at a wonderful breakfast. Maybe some of us, just her and the six disciples, on the shore of Galilee. Life has not been easy for us. Many issues we're talking about. Decisions about our job. Health problems. Problems. Relationship issues. Some of us have been praying for something or someone for many years. But nothing to be happening so far. Has not shown up in your life. In your mind, you have decided that you want to go back to fishing. Just her and the disciples. You used to be doing. Relationship with Jesus may have grown cold and dull. I tell you this morning, Jesus is telling us not to give up. Jesus is saying to us to cast your net on the right side of the boat. One more time. Jesus will show up on the shore of your life again. We respond to what he tells us to do. That miracle will happen. So we thank you for your good to us that even when discouraged and tempted to give up, forsake us, still want to restore us, to fight with you. You are the almighty and all-wise God that we can do, meet, just like disciples. We listen to you and say what you tell us, work miracles in and through us. This morning, that whoever here, this word is for them. God, take this word of mine and make it encouragement this morning for them. Do not give up. That God listen to your voice, obey you, your wisdom. Thank you. Continue. Because
please stand for the final song.
Music fades, and all is stripped away. I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a word that will bless your heart. Bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. much, much deeper within. To the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. It's all about
benediction. And now may the love of God our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit.